Okay, great song. Love that song. Nice in here. All right, most everybody's, a lot of folks had a job of some sort. You worked, you went, worked and did your best, and sometimes you had interviews to get it, and you had reviews during the way, and maybe even an exit interview on the way out to help. But I'm going to talk a little bit about a job review today. You know, what's a job review? Well, it's a judgment on your job performance and what you did. And generally, it's a sit-down with a one-on-one conversation about goals that were either met or not met. It's about how you performed your duties with tools you were given, with training you were given, with skills that were provided for you, things you do well, and things you may need to improve on. You know, job security may or may not be an issue. A lot of times it's not necessarily, but promotions and raises might hinge on your performance. Your performance based on expectations from your boss. It's kind of laid out on what your expectations are. I want to just remind you, we've got a job review of us ahead of us also. And a one-on-one judgment, but it's with Jesus. And now there's different judgments with different purposes. There's a white throne judgment, but it's for punishment for those who chose not to believe in Jesus Christ and his atoning work on the cross. You know, that's an exit interview you don't want to have. Okay? You don't want to have that one. There won't be arguments, because upon death in this life or when Christ returns, that decision and that punishment is stamped. It's made eternal. It's already done. And the final sentence is, if you read, into the lake of fire. So once you get to death in this life or his return, the only thing you have to look forward to is the white throne judgment. And that's not going to be good. John 5:24, and I've got a few scriptures today, so it's not a bad thing, because more of that and less of me is always a good thing. But John 5:24 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." So if you're a believer, you won't be in this judgment, the white throne judgment. Believers have their sins covered in Christ. You know, he already paid the price. He's a great lawyer. He's already got you that you're declared not guilty, that you're there. And he took our punishment so we didn't have to face the white throne judgment. But that doesn't mean we won't be judged. In Romans 14, chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, says, "You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God.' So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God." So Christians do have a judgment. We'll face Jesus one-on-one to give an account of ourselves. And I don't know, that's hard to fathom. You know, it's kind of, you know, you go to a job interview, you're kind of like selling yourself. This is what I can do for you. This is the skills I have. This is what I can do. And you're going to be facing Jesus, and you got to give account of yourselves. You got to say, well, this is what I did. You know, he's not asking what you can do. Once you're there, you can only talk about what you did do. So you're there talking to him and give an account of what you think and of what you did in your life. But this judgment isn't for salvation. That's already been done. Salvation was already decided by if you've accepted Jesus as your personal Savior or not. Again, there's a limit up to time of death here on this earth or him coming back. And then the choice is gone. It's already made. You don't get another chance. This judgment is for rewards. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I read verses 6 through 10. It says, "Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." So the judgment seat of Christ, that's what we'll face. You know, the judgment for those that believe in Jesus Christ and have accepted Him. Others call it the Bema seat. You might have heard it called the Bema seat. It's kind of a seat on a raised platform, and it's kind of up there, and it's up there for the judge to give out rewards and to participants. And again, it's judgments of rewards. It's not a judgment of condemnation. It's a judgment of reward, you know, kind of like the Olympics, you know, and Paul, you know, Olympics go back eons, you know, from way back. And, you know, they were given crowns for their successful performance. And Jesus is going to reward you for your performance. You know, Olympians were judged on their performance, and they were judged whether it was good or whether it was bad. They all got judged. And everyone gets a grade, but not everyone gets the same rewards. You know, if you go to the Olympics, you know, the one that did the best gets a gold medal. You know, the one a little under him gets a silver. Then there's a bronze. 4-H ribbons, still what, blue and red and white? Green? Okay, you get a colored ribbon for depending on how good you did. Now, some will only be participants because they did not do well enough to merit an award. So you might get that participation trophy, you know, that because you actually were there, you make it in, you're there, but you didn't do enough to get a better reward, you know, and you know, for whatever reason, you know, maybe the effort wasn't there, you know, maybe the desire wasn't there, maybe just being a part of it was good enough. You know, some people work. And you've been just in the workplace. Some people work and do the maximum. And some people work and do the minimum. And it's very frustrating when you are the boss and you know the abilities that they have. And they're not meeting those abilities that they have. So sometimes I wonder what Jesus is going to think about how we've used our abilities. You know, He gives them to us. You know, are we using them? You know, what's He going to think of us? How are we going to explain how we used them or how we didn't? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. Says, "By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wide builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though as one escaping through the flames." So, you know, what are you building up your work resume with? You know, going to this interview, what are you building it with? You know, is it solid like gold, silver, or stone? Or is it wood, hay, or straw, which will burn up? If you have a problem with that, think of Three Little Pigs, okay? Straw and sticks didn't cut it. You got to have bricks. You got to have something strong to resist the evil. when you're working, when you're doing things, you know, and whether at work or for God, you know, what's your motive? What's the reason you're doing these things? Why do you do what you do? Is it for a paycheck? Sometimes it is. I just need my check. I need a set of tires. Had somebody come to work for us once. Worked a week till he got enough to pay for a set of tires. And then he left. That's all he wanted. Just enough to pay for a set of tires. So, you know, is that what's just for what I can get myself, you know? Or why do you do what you do? Maybe is it to raise myself up? You know, I want people to recognize me. I want people to see me. A little prestige. Maybe a little power that I get from doing better, from doing my best. Maybe it's to impress the boss. I just need to impress the boss. We actually need to do that. We need to impress Jesus. We need to do what he was. Maybe we make the boss look good. We give him the credit. We need to do that with Jesus too. We need to let him use us. But he gets the credit. He gets the glory. Which one of those will get you farther? You know, motive will determine if it's solid, if it's for Jesus, or if it's not, if it's going to be burned up. It's for myself. Depends on your motive. Depends on your reason. And it says, well, okay, I'm going to be judged. Well, how am I going to be judged? What ways am I going to be judged? And honestly, there's one really scary one that's in Matthew 12, 33 through 37. It says, make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings many good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. And here's the part I want you to get. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they've spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. And I just thought, wow, I don't have much to add to that. You know, that should scare every one of us. It should be a warning to every one of us. Because every one of us has failed with our words. What are you going to say when he asks you why you used the words that you spoke? It says you got to give an account. Everyone will give an account of his words, and we've used plenty that were empty. But we've got to answer for that. Matthew 25, 14 through 30. It's one you've heard of before. It's the talents. This translation says bags of gold, but I prefer talents to be used there. I think it takes a little more into effect. And I know you've read it, but we're going to read through it again as it pertains to today. It's Matthew 25, 14 through 30. And he says again, you know, he's again talking about this. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey. You called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey, and the man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled with them. And the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Said, Master, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with two bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with two bags of gold. See, I have gained two more. And his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have at least put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, those servants are us. You know, we all receive gifts. We all receive talents from God. But they're to be used for God. You know, bosses, if you're at work, they're looking at a ROI, a return on investment. You know, they're looking for an increase. God is looking for you to be of service to Him to increase His kingdom. He's invested a lot. He's invested his son. You know, he's given you what you need to perform what he's asked you to do. And he only asks you to do what he's given you the ability to do. He doesn't ask you to do anything impossible. So we have the talent needed. And it involves in, do we make the effort? Do we use what he's given us for his purpose? Someone said, it's been said, our potential is God's gift to us. But what we do with it's our gift to God. He's given us what we need. We're going to have an invitation. Dave, in a minute, going to have an invitation. I'm ending up. It's okay, I like it. But there will be a time, come a time to settle accounts, just as these servants did. There's going to be a judgment of rewards or the lack of them. Again, we've all been given what we need to build up. We've got what we need. You know, there's not going to be any comparison. You know, when we're talking to God, there's not going to be any comparison to someone else. There's not going to be anybody else to blame. We can't blame anyone else. It's him and us. It's just you and I that's going to be talking to him. You know, it's a day of accountability, as it says, when the master returns. So again, we've got that limited time. We need to do our work in before he returns. Because he's going to ask, how did you spend your time? You know, how did you spend your money? How did you use your gifts? What did you invest in? Did you invest in the church? And by church, I don't mean the building. I mean people. Did you invest in relationships? Did you grow it? You know, are you eager to show him what you've done? Are you eager to please him? Or do you not have anything to show for what you've been given? It's not God's fault. Don't blame him. If we don't use what he's given us, that's on us. We got to explain it to him. Two more verses. Two more little verses. Matthew 6, 19 through 21 says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be." Now, heavenly treasure is going to be unbelievable. You're going to have an opportunity to be given greater things. You know, he says, "I'm going to put you in charge of stuff. It's not going to be like work here. It's going to be good stuff, fun stuff, stuff you enjoy doing. He's going to put you in charge of. Your true treasure isn't here. Your true treasure is in heaven. So where's your heart? Is it on stuff? Or is it on eternity? Is it on things of God?" The last verse, Revelation 22:12. Says, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they've done." So again, time is limited. Time is limited. He's on the way back. You know, who would not want to hear Jesus say to them, "Well done, good, faithful servant"? I think that's what we all want to hear. It doesn't matter how much he gave you, a little or a lot, while you're here. You know, it's the 10 talents, the 5 talents, the 1 or 2 talents. He said it to all of them that provided, that grew, that made a difference. It's the one that didn't do anything. He was in heaven, but he missed out on a lot. Time is limited. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been a faithful servant. You've got to trust him in the things. And then he's going to say, "I'm going to give you," you know, in this interview, he's going to say, "I'm going to give you a promotion. I'm going to give you special responsibilities. Things you're going to like." And he says, "Come on in, let's celebrate." That's where we want to be this morning. That's where we want to be. We're going to have prayer and then we're going to have communion. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the parables you teach us so many things in. Lord, you have given us so much. You've given us Jesus Christ. We don't have to face the end judgment, Lord. We've been saved from death. We've been saved from that. We've saved for an eternal home with you. But Lord, there are judgments. There is a judgment to come, Lord, on what we do, how we use what you've given us. We're supposed to build on things that you've set in stone, Lord. Build it up, increase your kingdom. That's what we're called to do. You've given us the talents and the abilities to do it. And it's up to us to fulfill those responsibilities that you've given us, Lord. So we pray, Lord, we can multiply your kingdom, that you would use us to do that. And we're obedient to follow through. Lord, don't let us be lazy and lacking and just sitting on what you've given us, afraid to use it, afraid of what people might think, afraid of what people might say. Lord, let us watch our words. Let us not have empty words that we got to respond to. Because you're calling us to account. Lord, let us remind ourselves each and every day to examine ourselves. As we're going to do in this communion, Lord, that examine ourselves. Are we fulfilling what you want us to do? Are we using all the things you've given us? The training, the skills, the talents you've given us with a purpose to build your kingdom. Lord, I pray you would help us to see that in ourselves, Lord. See our failures and encourage us and help us to grow where we need to gain. Father, we're just so grateful for Jesus. And we just thank you for all the things you provide for us. Just help us to be obedient. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.